what caught me about yours was like there was a vulnerability to what you had to say to me, you know, that you're putting out there. And I like that. That's, you know, instead of, you know, propping yourself up, I'm this, and this. I get a lot of that. You know, it's like, oh, great, man. Here's my list of my pile of shit. Here you go. Do what you will with it. You know, you kind of came out of the gate saying, I'm trying some new things. So that caught me. I hope it catches other people too, you know, because you're going to learn some shit along the way. By the way, at 40, fuck, man, if I just did 40 to 48, that means you got 8 years of ass kicking, you know, to go and do, you know, whatever that means. But so go do it.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Mostly Harmless. I'm your host, Dammit Damien. Buddies, welcome to a very, very, very exciting episode of Mostly Harmless. This episode right now, right here, today, marks 150 episodes of Mostly Harmless with Dammit Damien. Today is a nice, really laid-back chat slash lecture from Aaron Draplin, one of my all-time favorite graphic designers and personalities. I would call him something of a modern-day Mark Twain. Not only is he a very wonderful graphic designer, he's also something of an educator. He does lectures. And then in today's chat, he just kind of hangs out and gives me some really great life advice. It's not so much of an interview, but rather just a hero of mine, sensing that I need some direction and then giving it to me. It's wonderful. I can't fathom that I finally got to have this conversation with him. It's taken something like 10 years to hit this milestone of an episode, but to be fair, the show is been on a few extra long hiatuses while I try to, figure out and navigate my mental health issues and a career in restaurant management. When I initially stopped doing the show, I was not getting that same hit of dopamine that it had once given me. So I looked around and I said to myself, I've interviewed or met enough of my heroes. I'm good. I can call this a day and be happy about it. And so I hit stop and just stopped the podcast. I had some legal issues for a couple years that I'm still dealing with today, but those are a little bit more behind me. So as the years went by, that itch just kept scratching at the back of my brain. I kept finding myself jotting down questions and ideas that I would never ever use. But there on the back burner of my brain was this pot of simmering ideas, simmering, cooking, waiting for the right ingredients to bring the show back. We brought the show back in the height of the pandemic. I brought it back as a YouTube show with the idea that maybe I can make some advertising money on YouTube and get a few thousand listeners. But that was a pretty foolish journey. Kind of stopped that and then devolved the show back from a YouTube show into a podcast once again as I was deciding. I was working at a restaurant in Denver. I was not very happy. My girlfriend had decided she was going to move, and I decided to move with her. And at the time, my whole life felt out of control. It felt like I was doing everything for everyone else. So I started doing a podcast again so I could have something for myself to do, something that felt like mine. So when I got to Napa, things have been really, really hard. And I kept asking myself, is this dumb? Is this worth it? Who cares? I almost quit the show again and again and again, but I'm learning how to better ride the waves of my mental illness. I do the interviews when I want to do them. When I don't, I don't. I'm just trying to learn how to ride this mental illness so much better. And I think it's kind of working. We've got some stuff coming up down the line. I've got about 5 interviews already done. I just got to edit them together. But it was one of those nights where I was thinking about quitting again, questioning my worth and questioning who I am and what I'm doing. Oh, man, geez, guys, who cares? But I had a handful of beers rolling around in my belly, and I decided that before I would quit, I would try to interview a few folks who were on my bucket list, people I'd been after forever and I needed to chat with before I called it a day again. And Aaron Draplin, a Draplin design company, got an email that night from me, and to my great joy, he decided to come on to the show. It's, again, it's less of an interview and more of just a real cool chat. I've looked up to Draplin ever since I first stumbled upon his TED Talk on YouTube. He was a guest on What the Fuck with Marc Maron podcast. I've met him a few times in Denver. I flew all the way to Portland to see him on the Sporkful Live podcast. I've encountered him a few times, and he's always just been this huge character that I'd like to aspire to one day be. Like, I look at this guy and I'm like, how do I become that? This big, gregarious, just wonderful, smiling, happy, fascinating human being. And today we sat back and he gave me some real good life lessons. I barely asked a single question this entire episode. I wanted to read you the email that I sent Draplin because it kind of gives you a good setup of what to expect for the episode, okay? Hello, Mr. Draplin and company. My name is Damian Burford, and once upon a time, I was the host of a punk rock podcast called Mostly Harmless with Dammit Damian. I am bringing the podcast back for another series of interviews, and I was wondering if you would have any interest in talking to me for the show. This new series is based around how I finally started taking care of my mental health. I just turned 40 and I have this overwhelming desire to create and do things that were important to me as a teenager. Things such as write fiction, interview bands, make zines, podcasts. So I'm interviewing people I admire about their creative talents and how they work with an idea. The idea that I have is that you will give me and others who are looking for inspiration to get back into what they love doing. Man, that sentence does not make sense. I'm surprised he wrote me back. Anyway, it continues. I'm a big fan of your art and outspoken personality. I've really fallen more in love with great old graphic design from your talks, books, and Instagram feed. You're a blue-collar, intellectual, rock star graphic designer, and I think there's a lot of correlation and ideas that cross over to my audience, and I would like to introduce them into your world. I've been a big fan of yours for some time. I've met you in Denver and once in Portland. This would be a conversation from the heart with lots of love about how great it and rewarding it is to make art. Sorry if this is too long, but this is that letter to a cute person in school you're too shy to talk to, but you know you only have one chance, so you put it all in there, right? That's what this letter is. Dope. I can only promise you that any chat we do will absolutely be this strange. Take care. Much love. Dammit, Damian. So, buddies, without any further rambling, let's get into this really nice, wonderful, long chat. Episode 150 of Mostly Harmless with Dammit, Damian. If this is your first time listening, please come check us out. Come back again, mostlyharmlesspodcast.com. Sign up for the email mailing list. That's where I write a lot more about my mental health journeys and issues, and we'll see whatever else we get into over there. All right, buddies, let's listen. Aaron, what's going on, my man? How are you?
All right. Hi there. I'm all right. I'm a little down for the count. Nothing bad. Hangnail and below. Look at that little piece of bratwurst right there. Hangnail and below. And I think the cool word is spiraling, but I suddenly turn it into this sort of, you know, existential battle of health and, you know, what's wrong and, you know, pain and what does this thing mean? So in the last 2 weeks, I've had some stuff. I went back to my mom's place in Michigan. I'm being gentle how I explain these things, you know, but I went back to my mom's in Michigan, and something about that 15 degree weather, it just turned me into one big flake of psoriasis. I have a couple of psoriasis things going on in about the last year and a half, and some shit happened and I got a rash. Here we are. We're talking, and you can go get stuff from like Walgreens or whatever. I had to go in. There's a woman throwing up in a bucket, presumably from who knows. And I'm at this urgent care and it was terrifying. I don't do well with that stuff. And by the way, here, 2 weeks later, the shit's clearing up. You know, I mean, the modern medicine and the miracle of this stuff, tenacity is a weird fix-all. And how about just oblivion? So I'm embarrassed that I've been so oblivious for so many years and just let the juices and the farts and the things and the whatever percolating within fix things, right? Like sometimes I've had some stuff and, you know, my girl would go get it checked out, but I let it go and it went away, you know? Yeah. What does that reinforce? It's not necessarily good. So just full disclosure, I took like kind of last week off. And I've kind of lost some momentum, you know, okay. It's a weird thing, but that's just where I'm at. I mean, usually when I would get on these things, you know, there's a party line of like, oh man, I got this. But before we get into any of that, what's your deal? How do you know me? Have we met before? And have we met before?
We've met in both Denver and Portland. My deal is, you know, I'm a dude who I used to do zines as a kid. I quit for a while, decided to try to get a real job. Then I ended up working in music venues for years. I was a venue manager in Colorado Springs at a place called the Triple Nickel.
Why do I know your name? You know, when I first saw it come up, I was like, were you in bands?
I was not in bands, but there's Damian Abrams from Fucked Up.
Yeah.
It's funny because me and Damian have the same spelling of our very unusual name, and we both do similar podcasts. Okay. I've been doing mine a little bit longer than he has.
You know, I listened to his Turned Out a Punk. I listened to that. I met him a couple summers ago at Fuzz Camp, this Dinosaur Junior, you know, kind of like adult thing. You know, always, you know, you go and meet the band, and it was great. It was weird. I met him there, and that guy's a fucking handful, man. He's cool. And I have a couple fucked up records, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, what a beast in a great way. You know, do you know him?
We've chatted a little bit on the internet, but I've never actually met him. I get tagged in a lot of stuff that people think they're tagging him because the same name, and we run in similar circles. But as far as like, have we met? I met you at one of the Denver small business things. It was a big tent. We were all out.
Yeah, smelled like cow shit.
Cow shit feet, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Like a barn of some sort. Yeah.
And then a couple of years later, you were on a live Sporkful podcast.
Oh yeah.
And I came out and saw that. I tweeted at Dan Pashman. They were looking for guests for their Portland show. And I was like, if you get Aaron Draplin on the show, I will come out. And then who knows if that tweet of mine had anything to do with it, but they were like, Aaron Draplin's on the show. And I'm like, well, flying out.
Yeah, that was that the summer of 2019?
No clue. I know.
We're all screwed up now. I mean, yeah, that's definitely something that's weird is like anything pre-pandemic, I have to kind of go reference on my phone, you know, like, was it 18 or 19 or 17 or whatever? And, you know, it's getting weird because you suspend everything because everything went on hold on March 15, 2020. So at that time, 2017 was only a couple of years before, but now it's fucking 5 years before or something.
Oh, no.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm all time and space is I'm pretty freaked out by it. You know, I'm all right. You know, okay. Cause I, you know, for me to do these things, like check it out. I don't want to sound like a megalomaniac, but I get a lot of kids asking me to be on their thing.
Yeah, I know.
And sometimes it's really cool. You know, I've done a lot of them, but sometimes I can just tell it's going to be the same old shit design wise. And there it's already been out there, you know?
Yeah.
I like to contribute and I like to be a part of that community. I feel privileged to be a part of that. But what I got excited about yours was just the words punk rock. Now, before we go any farther, you know, I'm using this, you know, this is a bit of a, you know, a twofer here. I want to use this because I've had some guys come after me and say, oh yeah, you look, you know, real punk rock Draplin. You don't even know who the smut peddlers are. Well, I kind of do. Or you don't even know who that some other strain of punk rockery, rockery. Or we've heard you make fun of the Warped Tour. And it's like, listen, man, it is not about your ability to understand Fat Records versus, I don't know, anything.
Yeah,
or whatever the bands are. It's your ability to think for yourself. That's it. So that's why, you know, I kind of was interested to see, you know, you've been in the rock industry, you know,
right. Yeah.
And you've worked in these things. That's awesome. You know, what kind of bands are you into?
You know, it's funny you mentioned Fat Wreck. I definitely love the Fat Wreck bands. As I've gotten older, I've definitely my tastes have changed. Like lately, I've been listening to Olivia Rodrigo and Taylor Swift and absolutely having a blast doing it. Wow. But at the same time, like earlier today, I was listening to Silver Age by Bob Mould, you know.
Love them. Own them all. Yeah, because, you know, what I want to do is kind of say, okay, I've run smack dab And if someone will say, well, punk rock to me is Pennywise, and I'll just go, oh, Jesus Christ. That shit is fucking, but how dare I, because for me, if I, you know, if I show you the record wall and say, ooh, punk rock, what does it mean to me? It's kind of the Dead Kennedys or something,
right?
You know, it's the Dead, it's Poison Idea, we'll say, Portland, yeah. Oregon. It's, you know, there's a danger or there's a political angle. You know, Fugazi to me is still pretty punk rock to me,
yeah.
You know, but I will say the slicker things, they've never grabbed me, you know. But it's just interesting, like, I'll go home and there's a bunch of Groms who are about 4 years younger than I am, and they love Strung Outs and Pennywise, Lagwagons, and No Effects, and
yeah, I love some of those bands.
We knew about that stuff. Yeah. You know, I'll say this much. I remember in the early 90s, you know, we were out west.
Yeah.
And a new brand had arrived on the scene, and they were the big hot shit, The Offspring. And I thought they were fucking unlistenable. And I got to tell you, a little bit of a hunch, you know, day trading hunch back then, I was right. And they, to this day, those guys suck. So there's the first time there's a little lapse of grace on your podcast here. But there was something, okay. It was just like, man, why are you? So I remember coming up to Portland from Bend, Oregon, and some buddies going to see that show. And I went and walked my ass across, you know, downtown. And I went and saw a band called Girls Against Boys, nice. Which were kind of like, you know, touch and go and kind of darker and all this kind of New York City or something. I don't know, to the effect. By the way, it doesn't make my play any, you know, better or worse. The idea is one little decision back then could change everything, you know. And I remember, you know, how I was being, I remember how thankful I was that opened the door. You know, like the Jesus Lizard opened so many doors to so many things for me that I didn't even like, yeah. But it opened a lot of doors, you know. The Flaming Lips opened a lot of doors. Mercury Rev opened a lot of doors to things that were weird and psychedelic almost, you know. And here's the thing, is like, that's what my wall is filled with back there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just as at home with Spiritualized as I am with Sunvolt. As I am with, you know, I don't, you know, whatever. But what's interesting, like I said, is the range, you know, the narrow quality of some of these things is really,
oh, sure,
interesting to me. Where, like, I have some buds, they never broke out of that little channel they were in, you know. And I, you know, I'm that's really interesting to say Taylor Swift. I wouldn't know where to start with that, but I just like the idea that that's just could be, if you take the spectrum of things, that could be on the complete other side, right, of what, yeah, you're doing, you know. And that's cool.
Yeah, I listen to stuff all over the place. I've always listened to a little bit of everything. And one thing I really do like to talk about is, I had a buddy on here a couple of weeks ago. We were talking, you know, he plays in punk rock bands, and we talked about Sparks for 20 minutes of our entire chat, you know. Like, I want to talk to people about how, because so many people I grew up in small town Louisiana before moving to, you know, small town Colorado, and people are that close-minded. So it is actually, in my mindset, a lot more unique to find people like yourself or people who are just so in love with art that it doesn't matter what kind. That's,
well,
that's
in Louisiana, what were you, how old are you?
I'm 40.
Okay. 48. Yes. fucking hair's starting to hurt. So, okay. In Louisiana, was it, you know, I don't know, you know, some kind of goddamn, you know, Fleb Flubinoy of the fucking, you know, the Bayou Boys. Like, what would you have, like, gotten to as a kid there? Was it, like, local stuff? Or was it, like, you know, like, whatever was coming from New Orleans and Houston?
Well, so I was in Shreveport, which is North Louisiana. When I meet people who are actually from, I say actually from Louisiana because I'm putting myself, the joke is I meet people from Southern Louisiana, like New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Lake Charles, every one of them, doesn't matter sex, age, race, every one of them goes, honey, you're not from Louisiana, you're from Texas, which isn't, you know, okay. I grew up in Shreveport. Like,
yeah,
it's more like Dallas than it is New Orleans.
Okay.
But Shreveport really never, I used to book DIY shows there, and I lived with the punk rock band, and I knew all those guys. So we were kind of building that. That's we were trying to build that scene, especially in the early days of the internet. So we were getting, we would have to drive almost everywhere to see shows. Like occasionally we'd get somebody like Less Than Jake came and played Shreveport, Blink 182 on the Dude Ranch tour. But most, you know, Korn on one, you know, I know they're not punk rock, but Korn on their early tours would come through. Music venues just didn't last in Shreveport. Yeah. It turns out when I got older, talking to the adults, the older adults, a lot of Shreveport bribery. Like that's how stuff was run, and be like, oh, you didn't give us the kickback for this, so we're gonna pull your liquor license kind of deal.
Oh, you know? No,
so
shit. Yeah. Because how far were you guys from Little Rock? I'm looking here.
Oh, like
5 hours.
Yeah. Good little way.
Little Rock, a couple kids I've met, I've spoken in Little Rock a couple times. They had their own insular punk rocky rock, make their own all kinds. And by the way, within that little DIY world, there were, you know, crusty things, there were weird things, there were acid drenched things, there were doom things, there were all kinds of, yeah. They all support each other because no one came through there. You had to go to a Memphis, right. You had to go down to Dallas, you had to go over to, you know, Oklahoma City even, you know, which was just like, wow, man. So Shreveport, you know, was it like, you know, because listen, I'm from Traverse City, Michigan, there fucking nothing. Nothing. But what we got up there, a couple little things, were from Detroit or maybe some Chicago every now and again. We got like, you know, a little bit of like the Laughing Hyenas were up there from Detroit. I got to see them when I was 17 years old. I couldn't even get into the venue, you know. And that guy, you know, Negative Approach, John Brand and all that shit. Yeah. But, you know, why were they up there? I mean, there's no way they were making any money, you know. So someone wandered up there. We got to see it. I'm so thankful. You know, a couple of these Detroit bands. But, you know, so if you were a kid and you were going somewhere, was that Dallas to go to the big city?
Yeah, most of the time was Dallas. Okay. There was also like this small town called Longview, Texas. It was
Longview. Yeah,
Longview and Tyler, Texas had a really strong punk rock scene.
Okay.
It was very DIY. I remember seeing Alkaline Trio on an early tour opening for the Blue Meanies in a storage shed. And that was an hour and a half drive. And we'd see stuff like the Ataris before anybody knew who they were, you know, a little bit newer, a little bit more mainstream than the stuff I think you're listening to, but that's what we were into. We'd buy all the skate and punk rock.
Yeah.
The skateboard DVD. Well, these weren't even DVDs, VHS, skateboard and BMX. I was a BMX kid. So I'd buy all those like, you know, Dirt was the magazine we all really liked, and Ride BMX.
Yeah.
BMX Plus, you know.
Yeah, no, I know. I have 8 years on you. When I was a little kid in Central Lake, Michigan, the only thing I could get my hands on when we went to Traverse City, Michigan, where I ended up moving to when I was 13, we would get copies of BMX Plus, and it had freestyle. That's where I wanted to get my freestyle bike. You know, I got my first Haro. I saved money, and my parents helped me get one in the summer of 86. And up to that point, I was, you know, banging around on Huffies and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you know, there's something about, you know, what did I just watch the other night? Oh, I watched that Big Brother documentary. Yeah,
it's on Hulu.
And you know, what's so interesting and also a little embarrassing is, it turned into all this other stuff. Like I have a couple of buddies on Jackass, Danger Aaron and Dave Angle. Those are friends from Portland. And I used to work with Dave on magazines, and of course Danger Aaron, and we've just been buds. I did his new logo that I think is going to be in Jackass, but we're afraid to go to movie theaters, you know, to go see the new Jackass. I'm so happy for him because, you know, those guys take these breaks and then they do whatever they do. And some of those guys, they don't generate a lot of income, you know? So to see these guys have another movie, it was really exciting, you know, for me and my buddies around town. So I'm watching this dumb. And what you realize is it's just the spark that lights the whole thing. It can just be like three people, you know, and that turns into Jackass, that turns into these larger cultural things and you know, and scumbaggery and, you know, punk rockery and assholism. And those guys are just a bunch of dipshits, you know, but lovable, of course. But there's a sheepish quality when you realize, man, these things aren't all that big. And at the time, at the time, it seemed like, I remember when Big Brother was going on, and it just felt like there's no way you could ever break that barrier to get into where they are. Like, first of all, to storm Larry Flint and get in there because they're in there conducting business. What you come to realize, it's a bunch of dipshits on old equipment and old stuff. And they're just putting out something that just inspires all these kids. But it's like, when you look at it now, it's like, man, by the way, I feel the same way when I see these, like, now 65-year-old guys talking about, you know, punk rock SST days and all that kind of stuff. It's like, oh man, I'm coming up on 50. So what I'm getting at here is, like, to understand and put shit into perspective, to demystify things, and then moving forward, I don't have any fucking hangups. I'm not worried about, you know, what I'm doing, why I'm doing it. You know what I mean? Because, you know, the thing is when you look back at that stuff, you tend to build this stuff up, and you know what? Rock and roll, bands, all that shit is the same. And that's also what I love about it. You know, for me, growing up, one of the most magical things I had as a kid were the Flaming Lips out of Oklahoma City. Because if those weirdos could do that out of Oklahoma City, Christian conservative Oklahoma City, any of us could do whatever we wanted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it flowed into skateboarding and snowboarding for me, and this world of art and thinking for yourself and making your own thing. And I mean, are they punk rock? Well, they were when they started, but it was an Oklahoma version of punk rock. It's not da na 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 na. No, it's weird. It was just fucked up for their, you know, it's fucked up for those guys in Oklahoma City. And that's what's perfect, you know. They were making their own posters and their own art and their own t-shirts and, you know, record covers. It's that spark that I try to harness on. By the way, anymore, the Flaming Lips, I'm just not as interested. And that just breaks my heart to say, because, you know, I've met Wayne a number of times. I know their art director. I've gotten maybe a little too close to how the sausage is made. And that might have fucked it up for me, you know, because they were such a creative force for me of being able to go and figure out your own path, you know, because it's not, you know, who does this or who's got the most crazy. You know, I've met some punk rock motherfuckers, and they look like guys that should be checking your meter. You know what I mean? Like, it's just nothing about them. They look like they're in prison. They're wearing, like, you know, they're something like institutional looking, but they're free up here. You know, they're free in the way that they do their work. They're free in the way that they earn a living. And that's pretty cool. There's some shit to take notes on there. You know,
me and the girlfriend, I don't want to talk too much about myself, but it kind of, what you're talking about ties into my life right now is, like, I just turned 40. I've done podcasts, I've interviewed bands, done zines, done all this stuff off and on since I was 16. I turned 40 and I'm like, well, I'm bored. I want to do it again. Not bored, but like, I've got that thing I got to make, but I'm out here trying to make it. And I just feel kind of foolish a lot of the time. I'm like, I should have done this a lot. I'm past my prime kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we moved from Denver to Napa, California, beautiful wine country out here. Mm-hmm. Boring as hell so far, but I'm sitting here trying to figure out what I want to do with my life. And, like, I've got restaurant management experience. We got this. I just want to make shit.
Now, what are you doing out there for work?
Nothing yet. I'm going to be working at a music venue starting this weekend. I start this weekend at a music venue. I'm going to pour beers at a local brewery. And then the idea was I was going to come out here and I was going to write and I was going to make my art and then have a couple of these side jobs. But I started having, like, panic attacks about, like, what if this stuff never takes off? Am I being dumb? Am I being foolish? Those are the things that I'm fighting with right now. And talking to you and just listening about it, it's like, you don't know what kind of impact that you're making when you're out there making Big Brother, spawning this stuff. I have to try to remember that is, like, if one person listens to this chat with you and me and gets something special from it and shares that something special, all this has been worth
it. Oh, of course. So. Yeah. I mean, the game of perception, I call it, you know, it's like, man, you know, what you realize is just how small things are. And then that's good because it demystifies shit. And so wait, your wine, how far are you from the city then? San Francisco?
An hour.
Oh, that's amazing. That's pretty cool because everything at your fingertips down there, everything. And by the way, if I had to be an hour outside of LA or hour outside of San Francisco, I'd go north. That's just me. Yeah. But I love San Francisco. So stoic. But man, we've been afraid to go.
Yeah.
For a number of reasons. I mean, Portland is just rough.
Yeah. My best friend just moved out of Portland in the middle of the pandemic. He was just like, I'm over it.
It's just a weird time. It's bruised and shit's out in the open and probably is always there. And part of the privilege of living anywhere, but you don't necessarily see these things. Oh, we're seeing it. And it's weird, man. It's weird, you know, and it looks apocalyptic when it starts to rain and it's gray and there's trash all over the place or these tent cities, as far as the eye can see. You know, I donate a lot of money to help people. Right. And I like to think that somewhere that dollar is going to help these folks, you know, somewhere instead of just kind of going, yeah. But I will say it messes with you. It messes with you being around it. And like, yeah. I don't know what to do, you know? So, you know, and I know San Francisco's got that shit too. And I know LA's got that shit too. You know, the West Coast, it's beat up right now, but it's just sort of, I don't know, you know, like reinvention's an interesting thing because we, you know, you could look at this as like, okay, take this as a breather. You kicked Denver's ass. Mm-hmm. You did what you could there. And how many times in your life are you going to be, keyword, allowed to go start over? Now that comes with a bunch of shit where you're chewing yourself up. Am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right amount of money? So I come with all that. But I think the cool part is you're doing it. Yeah. And you're now an hour away from San Francisco where you guys can whip down there and see everything in the world or tune into the beauty around you guys or go a couple hours north to the Sea Ranch where have you been up there yet?
I have not. I don't even know what that is.
God, you are gonna. So, are you a graphic designer also, or just more of a writer?
I'm a dabbler in graphic design. I have a passion for it. I have a bootleg copy of Photoshop. You know, I pay for Photoshop.
Sure,
like the bootleg. I dabble. You know, I made band flyers and whatnot. When I get stressed out, when I'm having a bad day, sometimes I'll just go look at typefaces and they calm me
down. That sounds pretty cool to me, man.
Yeah, but I'm not. I'm not a great.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Some of the greatest graphic designers I've ever come across or gotten to know, it came from exactly what you're talking about. They weren't trained in a way to go and get a job. They were just doing it purely for the hobby. That's where I started. Yes. I didn't have any other, you know, it was a hobby first, you know, and I, what is the word, purloined or, you know, I manifested that into quite a little mess here, but it really did start as like pizza job is what pays my rent. What do I do for fun? Well, I'd skate and snowboard and go see bands. But on that fun, it was like there was art was in there somewhere. And what was cool about commercial art was that you could make a buck. You know, and then I wouldn't have to do as much pizza, you know, on this hand or whatever, you know, I didn't have to work it. You know, I remember one year in Bend, Oregon, where I didn't have to have a nighttime job. Freelance graphic design covered me all winter long. And that was the sort of intoxicating juice from that. It's just like, man, the nectar of that, you know, really changed me. It changed me because it was like, whoa, I was told you have to have a job in this sort of, I was in Bend, Oregon, this sort of ski town, that's a pizza job. And everyone goes to their job at night. And that was a very Midwestern thing. Also, everyone had a job. You went to it at night. You got out of school. You went and worked your job. I was getting away with murder all of a sudden, being able to just work in my, you know, work in my bedroom and work on these projects. And that sort of elixir of that was, okay, before I get too intoxicated on this shit, where could I take this? Where could I go with this? And that's where I started to make decisions to go back to school and see what that might, and what doors that might open. But I got a little taste of it, right? And I could have stayed in that sort of comfort zone, but I pushed it a little bit and I pushed it a little bit. And I kept pushing it a little bit, you know? And by the way, all the time I'm going to Alaska to like, you know, wash dishes all summer, you know, because that was a sure bet. So there's always like, what's the sure bet? That's on one hand, pizza job, mountain job, whatever it was. But what's the fun shit, the hobbies and the weird things? I always understood both. you know? So if you're finding, you know, fun in that, fucking stick to it, because all the other shit will follow, you know? No one ever knows that, you know? You have to make this big decision. I'm going to be a music writer. I'm only doing that. Like, no, man. You know, what's cool about someone like a Damien Abrams, maybe, he's a lot of things. He's a collector. He's a, you know, a grade A bullshitter, you know.
Yeah.
He's a fanaticist of like, you know, how to like go into all the details of the records and shit. You take that one character, he's a singer, he's a curator, you know, he's a podcaster. There's so many hats. And I will say, I really like all of them on that guy. So that you take that one person, it's like, you know, one of the things that we keep talking about, my girl and I, what is our next step of reinvention? Because if it is just being in the backyard making shit, well, we just did that for 2 years straight. It was awesome. We made money, but I'm getting to the end of the rope of it. You know, I'm getting to the end of the rope of it. It's like, well, that's great and all, and it provides for a lot of people. But what would be the next thing that is that thing that you really wake up for and you're fired up? You know, by the way, I will never take for granted what I've been allowed these last bunch of years, you know? Yeah. But the next thing is, it might even be a little bit dicey. Like, you know, whatever, you know, by the way, I've watched bands do this and watch that case study of like, you just stop touring and stop the mechanism and you went and started to build homes. Yes. And look what came out of it. That's something that's like, you know, building homes is actually something really interesting to me. Like, I'd like to go buy a piece of property and build a home there. And like swing a hammer, shit, you know, be a part of it. And not just this guy who's like, buy the land, hire the people, and then stand there, you know, is this done yet? You know, I don't want to be that guy. I want to be the guy who's actually part of the deal, you know, and maybe that's the next phase. So if I'm 48 and coming up on a 48 and a half, you know, we've been talking like a year and a half from now, we're jumping out of this place. I built this shop, you know, for myself. Mm-hmm. In a year and a half from now, we're jumping out and we're going on to the next thing. Maybe that's back home. Maybe that is somewhere more on the West Coast. I don't know. Maybe out toward the Oregon coast. And we really do change things up. You know, I mean, here's the deal. We've created this monster here where I make these posters and things, but when no one ever really talks about, we can't leave. Because if we leave for at least, my girl Lee is leaving in 3 days here. She'll be gone for 2 weeks. That means no merch orders get filled for 2 weeks, right? Pizza slice hats will resume, you know, April 7th or something when she gets back. Well, what about all those orders in that time, right? Yeah. I'll do a couple. I'll do 100 of them or something, but it starts to back up. So when she gets back, she'll have like 300 orders. So it'll take her, you know, 3 days. She'll be caught back up and it'll just be the normal 25, 30 orders a day that we're so lucky to get. Well, you know, I could get some young kid, hire them and show them the ropes. So it just alleviates some of that for us. So that's like what we're looking at here is like, because, you know, what are we doing and how far do we take it? And how do you sort of mitigate, you know, interest in what you're doing and stuff? By the way, this is the first podcast I think I've done this year. I just haven't been doing as many because, like I said, it's kind of like, it's kind of the same old shit sometimes, you know? Yeah. And if, unless I hear from someone that it's going to get a little weird or they're going to ask me about mental health or something, you know, it's like, well, then let's talk about it because I don't know how I would even go after it, but I'll, you know, it's not tell us how to make a dollar, Draplin. Oh man. You know,
really, I'm just looking for advice. That's like, I'm looking for advice in the guise of doing it as a show for other people to learn things, but really it's all for me. So you're doing great for me today. Thank you. How do you feel though on the other side?
Today I worked on three posters for not rock posters per se, but they're like it's a concert series here in Portland. I've never even heard of the band Blind Pilot. Never even heard of it. And it's a big act. Yeah. And that was one of the posters I did, but it's not the poster design. It's the system that it goes into. We have a way to treat the photography, a way to treat the color, a way to, you know, kind of ignite it. And it's when you see George Clinton in Parliament, who I did a couple of days ago, it it looks like one of that family. But see, you know, the thing is every photo you get from the bands and the publicists and the stuff, they're all different, as you know, they're all different. And then I got to make something with that. So the system, the thinking is what I'm interested in. I'm interested in like, here's how you solve. We had 14 different posters because in each one of these, it's not just the poster, it's a kit. They take that and they make banner ads, things, stuff. They populate all these different sites. And that's, you know, I built the system. So I make the sort of mountain peak, which is like, here's what the poster looks like. If we even did, I don't even know if they even print a poster, but now you can go tear apart that direction and then go put it on all the, and we have a, you know, a younger guy that does that, you know, for me. And we kind of trained him, and he could have been an older guy. I mean, the idea is that's what I was working on today. That's pretty cool. Now the other two bands I worked on, Interpol, unlistenable at best, and then Spoon, I'm a little on the, you know, whatever. But here's what I'm getting at is like, that's what I got to work on today. What I'm going to work on when we're done is I'm going to work on a record for my buddy, Willie Vallotton from Richmond Fontaine. And he's got a new record coming out. It was a soundtrack he wrote to one of the books that he wrote. So this guy's an author, Willie Vallotton. He wrote a book called The Night Always Comes. It's his fifth or sixth book. And it's published Germany and Spain and a bunch of different languages, Scandinavian, you know, something. So we have covers from all the different covers to show as one shot. And he wrote this soundtrack to accompany it. So I'm working on that record. I'm working on this poster series. The third thing I'll be working on is a logo for a weed publication. And I don't even smoke weed. But so here's what I'm getting at is like, if I ever find myself a little bit poopy about, you know, oh, another day doing graphic arts, itching, one big flake of psoriasis the last couple of weeks, you know, these fucking things on my elbows are a lot of fun. And I got the UK over here going on. And then I got, you know, Grenada, I don't know, whatever I'm talking about.
I have eczema on my hands. You can't really see it through here. So
right. You know, it's like,
I've started getting on my eyes now. Oh, dude, that's terrible. Man.
I mean, you know,
but so I feel you. I understand.
I can't complain. I really can't complain. So I'm always at odds with like, we built an awesome scenario, but what is next? Because I've done this scenario for a lot of years, and I find myself now certain jobs land in my lap, and I'm more inclined to say, here's three names to go ask if they can work on this because they might be a better fit. I'm glad that you are considering me, but I'm getting a little exhausted, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of where we're downshifting a little bit, you know, but yet this merch continues to sell. And if I've got the audience right now, listen, all you people, you go to draplin.com right now /merch. Anyway, so it's a weird thing. I have to be really careful that I just keep my cool and really keep, you know, my perspective of how lucky I am to do this and then make gentle moves to hold that fire, but maybe just displace it to somewhere else, which might be, I want to go build a home. You know, that's the next thing. And then live there for a bunch of years. And I don't know if I necessarily want to, you know, like with, you know, having the road taken away from us. You know, when we were on the road, as much as Lee and I or myself, you know, I was on the road, having that go away because the pandemic, it was a jarring thing, but it's absolutely okay. You know, because for 10 years, I got to go places I never, ever thought I'd be able to go, ever, you know, and I'm very thankful for that, you know, but, you know, when it goes away, you want to go keep doing it or whatever. And we couldn't. Like in one weekend, right around, you know, March, you know, 10th, 2020, March 15th, when I remember the big pandemic, March 15th. And that week up to that, I had like 9 or 10 things go away. And it was like Australia was one of them. Australia. I was going to go down there for a week and do all these workshops and shit and make a bunch of money and all this shit. And it went away. So it's, you know, what I learned from that is that's okay. You know, it's to look at not the what ifs, it's the look what happened. Oh man, what happened? I got to go for 10 years and go meet all these cool designers and go talk to kids all Colorado Springs a couple different times, Denver a handful of times, Fort Collins a couple different times, shit, all over the place. Boulder a couple times, you know, just in, that's just in Colorado. Just very thankful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For the whole damn thing. And if the change is that we just stay home, I think I'm okay with that. You know?
Well, how do you get yourself back? Because I'm sure you have bad days. How do you get yourself to that place where you can be thankful for all these things you've gotten to do? You know, is that hard work to do?
I don't know. You know, being down for the count because I had to go get like some ointments and shit for some rashy stuff. You know, for me to be in that urgent care and have to go in and ask for help, it was embarrassing on so many levels because it's like, why won't my body fix this thing? And the guy looked at me like, I thought, you know, like, this looks bad. And the guy looked at me like he was looking under the hood of a car, you know, manifold, rejubilator. Oh, that's a piston. Like, it was nothing. You just look, you know, oh yeah, you got this. Okay, we're gonna put you on this, this, and this. You know, rub these things on, see if we can't calm it. But you know, this pill will help, you know, the interact. It's clearing up. But in all that moment there was like, you know, I needed a week just to go heal. And I've built such a mechanism where it's like, you just got to keep going, keep posting and keep making art and keep doing things and propping up a band or, you know, showing this next thing or learning about a new band or working on someone's record or showing some old things I found. You know, if you look at my Instagram, it's hopefully a roller coaster of like, it's not the same old shit all the time. But there's, you know, there's an archetype where it's like, oh, he's got about 9 cards he plays, but he's not playing card, you know, 1-1-1-1-1-1-1. He's going 1-2-3-4-5. You know, he's going through the cycle. Because you don't want to abuse the privilege of having people looking at your stuff by just inundating them, you know, or wearing them out.
This is good advice. I wear them all out constantly. Shit. Let me fix that. I do just want to throw out there. I fucking love your Instagram feed. I learned so much about junking and found art and all that stuff through it. And no bullshit. It gets me excited when I see the logo on the side of the recycling container. You know, I'm like, yeah.
Well, you know, what's interesting. I mean, first of all, academic or not, you know, what gets me back to where if I'm feeling a little, because where I'm going with this whole like being down for the count thing is like, that kind of quickly, it's terrifying to me how quickly I kind of succumb to it. And then I feel a little bit like hindered back here because I'm not at full capacity. I'm like suddenly, and what I was realizing is a lot of the years I've been doing it, I've just been charging so hard, burning candles at 19 ends. And you know how you pull it off? By fucking tenacity. But it's like humbling to have a weird itch. Because it just makes me kind of stop and go, okay, you got to downshift at some point. Now, that said, when you talk about what helps me get back, you know what? It's the weird realization that there's just design everywhere you look on the side of that trash can, you know, that recycling thing or something, and good design at that. And by the way, what's so empowering to me is I was trained in some respects, but a lot of what I learned how to do and how I do it, I was trained to do these things, but I taught myself. And when you go and you see something that was basically out in the world by not one of these hot shit graphic designers, that is the best stuff in the world. Because to me, it's like that kind of makes me go, if all this shit went away, I can still do graphic design and make a living and do things and be vital. Maybe it's only just to this 10-foot radius around me. But I can communicate, you know, but that's, you know, that kind of post, that's the stuff that makes me realize that, you know, some of the things that we're going after, kind of small in comparison, what matters, what doesn't matter. And sometimes the shit that's the loudest is when I see just normal, common people making really beautiful design or art or creative decisions, right? Because it gets overlooked. And I just love an underdog, you know? And so if I'm feeling shitty because I'm so busy or there's no time to cash all the checks, that's just insanity. You know, I mean, I'm so fucking lucky. I get a little poopy. I get a little down. And then, you know, when I was kind of like, I took that week off. I'm not going to post about it, you know, but I took that week off because it was like, well, then let me come out and do a really potent hour, because there's a couple emails I got to deal with. Instead of dicking around back here, playing the guitar, playing records, fucking off, you know, whatever, for 9 hours and getting a couple hours worth of work done. I came out here with this really concentrated list. I wasn't even comfortable to sit back here, you know, knock it out, go back in there and lay down and, you know, where I can be a little more comfortable and just kind of heal and sleep and shit. And, even in that, in this last week and a half, it's like, damn, how much time back here is just spent, you know, well, I keep a lot of it, you know, it's all spent in a good way, but you know, there's just like sort of displacements. Like I just need to displace some of the time to something else. And then that might be from a little more self-care. Yeah. You know, I've talked about this a million times on other things, but you know, I don't know, you know, so I'm just better and better at, if I'm feeling a little crusty, a little poopy, how to stop myself, take stock, find a tiny little glimmer, focus on that. And that lets me stair step up to the big things again, quickly. But I've learned you can't go to the scariest project after being down for a bunch of 5 or 6 days. You got to work your way back up. You know, you got to work your way, because otherwise I'm just treading water and then I'm intimidated or I'm not doing good work, right? That kind of shit, you know? So, you know, and by the way, this is nothing new, but one of the things I've done for years is when I come back here, before I just start jamming on other projects, I warm up by playing with stuff that's just for me, yeah, or by doing the mindless stuff, you know? And you know, by the way, every day, man, I make a list of all my shit in my field notes, of all the things I did. It might've only been Oregon tax letter to accountant Kelsey. Well, that's on the list because I got a letter from the Oregon that there was a discrepancy and I have to pay. And she wrote back and said, hold off, I'll go look. So here's what I'm getting at. That's one of 16 things I'll do today. Somewhere in there, I'll make the ads. Somewhere in there, I'll work on the weed project for the logo. Somewhere in there, I'll work on my buddy's record. And if those are the scariest things today, what I'm getting at here is when I take stock and I read that list and I'm like, the scariest thing that day was working on a logo for Field Notes. Are you out of your fucking mind? And I self-police. You know what I mean? By my organization, I like can self-police myself and just get myself back to where I'm like, feeling okay about it, you know? So I don't know if that even makes sense. If I'm just talking, you know, I'm going in circles here.
I totally get it. I was actually going to ask you like how you approach your work, because like I got a work from home job and I hated it. And I would usually sit in here for 5 hours avoiding every aspect of it then just not doing it. But then, I started, like you're talking about notes, I started making to-do lists.
Yes.
I have to start with the small stuff like take out the trash, and then I get it.
See, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Make the bed.
Recycling. By the way, if my shop is a fucking wreck, I can't get work done.
Yeah, me neither.
So if I have to start we're talking, no, kids are using the word literally wrong. I have to start in the ground level. I'll vacuum. Then I'll get to the next level. Organize some boxes. Get all the recycling put away and jump on it. And then the place is clean and it's a different way of sitting down. You know, all this shit compounds, you know? Yeah. So you start with like, just making sure their bed's looking tight.
Yeah.
And then you work your way. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Because what's going to happen is I'm going to be sitting here and my ADD is going to kick in and be like, oh, the bed isn't made. I got to go make it. I go to the kitchen like 100 times to see if there are any snacks, even though there are no snacks in there because I ate them yesterday, you know?
You ought to see the place I live. It's a pretty nice house, but this, you know, in the movie when they're walking, you know, Walking Dead or some shit, and they're through the woods and they get to the cabin. And they get to the cabin, they got the guns. You know, it's like a scene in The Road. Go in there, oh, what a fucking movie. And they open the cabinet and there's like one half a kidney bean in the corner and maybe one slosh of a drink inside. I don't know, you know, something. A handful of some kind of barley or something. That's what it's like at this house, trying to find a snack. It's like a pocket. I mean, there's just, I'm not kidding. Last night, out of fucking desperation, I needed something. And I put my little headlamp on because, you know, it's dark and I don't want to turn all the lights on because it's going to wake my girl freak her all out. She's going to hear these things. And I'm in there like prowling around the dark, looking in, like reading expiration dates. Ooh, I found some peanuts. Ooh, fuck, 2020. When did we get these things? Expiration date, because it was way in the back of a cupboard. You know, I'm in there digging around. In the end, I had a little handful of turkey, lunch meat, a little bit of mozzarella cheese, and just went back and sad, went back to bed, you know, whatever, whittling down the night. Because I've had all this time on my ass, like trying to heal, watched a mountain of documentaries, slept a bunch, played a bunch of like Sudoku, you know, that kind of little shit, like these little mind games. Like I'm not really into like video games. I did get back into my Nintendo Tetris. I love the classic shit. I love it. I'll lay there in bed thinking about it. But when I'm, you know, what I'm getting at is like, whenever I'm feeling shitty, I've just learned that these are good positive ways to get out of just, first of all, clean everything up and feel the power of that accomplishment of, damn, everything's done around me. Why do I get to be an asshole and not accomplish this thing? And I got to tell you, I've done these weird moments where it's like, okay, you know, the list in my field notes, it's foreboding. It's a long ass list. How the fuck am I going to do this? The only way through it is just to start the work, you know? Yeah. So I'll get everything around me ground level cool. I'll have a good simple meal, something I'm not burping up or whatever. And then I will attack this stuff and I'll start from the bottom. I'll work my way up. And when I get past the scary stuff, I keep going. And it doesn't happen all the time, but some of those nights, when I get past the scary and I'm into this realm of like, just, I'm just cooking at high octane, I will knock out 10 or 11 more things. It might just be a start to a project. Last night, I'm making some socks, a little sneak peek here, some new DDC socks, you know, but we got to get the logo figured out. Right. So, you know, let's see the logo. It looks a little bit like, a little bit like OOC.
Yeah.
But it needs to say DDC. So all they got to do is that on that little D, on the little top of the edge, they got to like make it a little more of a D. Well, these have been sitting here for a couple of days, and see, you know, what it's going to take is I got to shoot it, tweak it, show it, translate it, and then get it to this woman, you know, far, far away in China and say, help me make some dumb socks that are just at affordable prices that I can get and not have to have them be $20 a pair. I want them to be $8 a pair. Can you help me with this? And yeah, I get them for a certain price, but that stuff starts to weigh on me around here. But you know, I got all that shit cleared out last night. And when I woke up this morning, I had, three things to do, you know, and when I'm done today, I'm done. I'm not going to, you know, dick around back here. I'm going to go spend a night with Lee because she's leaving in a couple of days to go back to, Michigan, you know? So I'm just going to go, I don't know what we're going to go do. I want to take her to go see Jackass, honestly, because we need to go see that, you know, our buddies are in it, but I don't know. I'm still a little nervous about going out, you know, without a mask on and shit like this. I don't know. You know,
I saw it in the theaters. I saw it in like the XD at the Cinemark, and it was, I had a blast. I don't think I'd ever seen a Jackass movie in theaters before, and it was a whole lot of fun. So Jackass.
No, I mean, I think we're okay. I mean, maybe I should just go and say to her like, hey, Smoochie, put your dancing shoes on. We're going out to the goddamn theater tonight, because, you know, we live in this city with tons of theaters. Are theaters even a thing anymore? I mean, we have been so locked down back here that I wouldn't even know if you're allowed to go do that. Although I've seen my friends at premieres in town going to these things with Danger Aaron, you know, and, you know, people going to these things, like, it just hasn't even occurred to me that you're even allowed to go do that, because we've just been playing by the fucking rules. And see, a part of this in this backyard thing is I'm able to medicate myself with this backyard. You know what I mean? Like, why do I need to leave? I'm able to be creative. Yeah. I'm able to make a buck. The merch comes in, the merch goes out, not crazy prices, all good stuff. Jobs are coming in, jobs are going out. You know, I mean, I flew back to see my mom a week ago, or you know, 2 weeks ago. And, you know, got a little chafy back there with the skin. That's one of the first times you kind of broke the bubble. I mean, we break it a little bit around here, but it's only to go get the mail, you know, or every now and again, I go and go hit a, get a Big Mac. There's a MacDougal's up on 82nd that, you know, if you put a little security, you know, camera, you'd see a DDC orange van going through that sumbitch about once a week, you know, and, you know, going through it with my eyes closed because I don't want anyone to see me out there, you know, destroying a Big Mac. My girl won't go. She just won't eat that shit. But man, every now and again, just go, fucking just eat the whole bag, destroy the whole thing, catch them. You know, I don't know, whatever, you know, because, you know, I got another buddy in town. He lives only about 10 blocks from me. And, you know, he's like, my girl, she never let me go to, you know, whatever she, you know, in his scenario. And we've had a couple moments in the last 2 years where I'm pulling in and he's pulling out, you know, and we like kind of stop. And I thought, you motherfucker, you're going to make me, and he's busted. You know, he's leaving. I'm rolling in or vice versa, you know? So, you know, people are getting their fixes, whatever you want to call it, all sorts of ways, you know? And I, you know, just as part of our scene back here, it's like, so, all right, as things ease up, what are we going to do differently? I mean, we're not on the road. Okay. What are we going to do differently? So this is what we've been discussing. You know, I mean, this is what we've been, my girl and I discuss at great length all the time, because I just don't want to just fall into the rut of like, well, tonight I'm going to go so deep on Netflix. You know, it's like, you can only go so deep on some of that shit, you know? You know, one of the things I went and had done when during the pandemic is I had my molars out, and man, I don't like dentists either, you know? And it was, that motherfucker was horking on these things. You know, those things don't come out easily. I mean, it was terrifying. And I was 47, you know, 46, this is just 2 years ago, 46 years old. I was able to keep them all that time, but he was showing me, if you keep them, they're going to have problems with chipping and things, and they're getting sharp and, you know, different things. Pull them out. We'll have them out in a couple of afternoons. Man, the way they hork those things out. But here's what I'm getting at is I use the pandemic as a way to take care of some biz in a creative way, you know.
I read a lot of books.
I should read more. I make good use of my time. Maybe not the last 2 weeks, yeah. But, you know, what I do read is, you know, that replacements book, The Trouble Boys, I just destroyed that. Because it's the unknowable on page.
Yeah.
There's no way you could, they didn't tell any of that shit in interviews, what little they did up to the 1990 when they finally called it quits. You know, I used to live in Minneapolis. There was so much lore for those guys because they burned so hot and then just flamed out, just, you know, gone. So there's like this cool lore to that. And it's like, it was like a bad word to like them back there, which I still love that shit to this day. Well, to read that book, that was just like, it was like the greatest meal I've had in so long, because it was also kind of sad, because then you start to see just how damaged a lot of those guys are, you know? So I'll go through like that Jeff Tweedy book one night about his life and stuff. I'm just a fan of Wilco, you know, fan of that band and Uncle Tupelo's and shit. So if you get me in the right little vein, I'll read it.
Yeah.
Like there was this one book about Trump, that piece of shit, called Fear or Pain or some four-letter fear, done by the guy who exposed, you know, Watergate. You know, what's his name? He speaks really slow. I can't
remember. Oh,
that classic Wall Street, you know, Wall, you know, what's his name? Anyway.
Woodward and
yes.
Bernstein?
You know, yeah,
one
yeah.
of those guys.
So yeah. Woodward. So I read that book overnight because I just really thought there was going to be a smoking gun there. How can this asshole get away with this garbage like he is? What you come to realize is, you know, that guy's making money on the book, on the speculation. That guy's, you know, the other asshole's making money running the country, you know, whatever it is. And it's just, you start to just feel like just the whole thing is just so fleeting and gross, you know, and I, you know, kind of gave up on it. And look, I mean, hopefully things course corrected by the asshole getting booted out of there, you know. But nevertheless, you know, you get me in that. Like my girl, Lee, always has 7 or 8 books going. All kinds of stuff.
I've got a few.
She's really good about it, you know, and each day she spends an hour somewhere, you know, taking some time to slow down and read. That's great.
I've started putting this down more and picking up books because the noise on this makes my head hurt, but I can just pick up a book and read through it. But I do have a book recommendation for you, and I'm kind of surprised I didn't. I have a book recommendation for you. The book is called Nina Simone's Gum.
I got it right here. It's written, I got it right here.
You got it right there.
Have you read it? Because it was given to me by a buddy and I will read it. It was given to me, and I'm like, whoa, yeah. All right. And it just kind of showed up. See, the problem with that, if I don't seek it out, I won't destroy it, you know, sure. But it was given to me. It's sitting just within arm's reach right back here. I'll give it a crack. Pretty good, huh?
It's pretty, I think, as somebody who loves junking and collecting things and the power that an object can have, that I think that you feel like you're going to eat this book up. I read it. I could have read it in a day, but I decided to parse it out. And it's just about him keeping this piece of gum hidden away in his room and then unwrapping it and just still having
first all the power. Off, I'm a big fan, not of Nick Cave, but I love Warren sure. Ellis, just the beard and the cool Australian. They wear like the little sport jacket. No, like dumb Americans wear t-shirts with shit on it. Right. You go, you know, okay, great. You go there. These guys wear like an Oxford, you know, like a button down shirt, a lot of chest exposing with a cool, you know, sport jacket. Right. That's a, you know, very Australian with nice shoes and almost like a dress suit or something. That Warren Ellis guy, man, he is one of these weird, you know, I love the Dirty Three. Back in the day, you know,
he talks a lot about Dirty Three.
I got it. I'm going to destroy that thing because, you know, it's, if I'm a fan of something, I can't help myself. There was a Flaming Lips book years ago. I read the fuck out of it. Jay Farrar put out a book that was amazing from Sunvolt and Uncle Tupelo, Jay Farrar. I destroyed it in a night. And it's like, I need to go back and like savor it. The only other thing that, I mean, over the years, Cormac McCarthy was definitely for me something that taught me to slow down and really read each word, step back and reread a sentence. And I've been told, you know, if I just, you know, that there's other sort of, you know, like, you know, I get a lot of recommendations, but here's the thing, about 10 years back, I got to know David Yao just a smidge from the Jesus Lizard. Just a smidge. And, you know, to the point where he'd sort of know me when he'd see me floating around. We brought him into Portland for a thing. One time I was in, you know, we saw all the reunion shows and shit, but one time I was in Atlanta with my buddy Henry Owings, rock and roll guy. And then he says, we're picking up someone from the airport, and it's fucking David Yao. And I'm like, you know, he remembered me, you know, like, oh yeah, nice to see you. How you been? Okay. Well, he tells me about what the rest of the band, I was a big Jesus Lizard fan, so he tells me what the rest of the band is doing. And David William Sims, the bass player, is a big reader. And he kept a list of all the shit he would read. And to this day, that's one of the most heroic things I've seen. I don't know what that means, because there's no way to monetize it. But the world he has inside his brain is so rich and lush and big. And that's very romantic to me that he, instead of pushing whatever, I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like a really interesting thing. It's like, this is what we've been talking about. Moving forward, instead of having a wall of records to listen to, you know, start your wall of books. And you got through all this stuff. And you got to go through some of the greats and some of the, you know, because, you know, the people will drop certain things around me. And it's like, I just missed the boat on it. You know, I missed the boat on it. You know, a buddy just sent me the Drive-By Truckers memoir, which I got, you know, I'm just, I got to crack into it. Cause once I crack it, it's going to be demolished, you know, but I got to find the right space. You know, I'm glad you're reading. That's cool. Keep track of it all.
I started reading all the time. And that's what actually made me want to go back to writing again, is just participating in art inspires at least me to make it, I guess. I don't know.
You know, a lot of what I do is, you know, it's to make a buck, the merch. I mean, I get my buzz along the way, but I guess what I'm getting more and more interested in is like, what if there is no dollar to make from this? Why? That is okay. You know, now when the pandemic went down, you know, people were making bread and all that kind of shit. You know, we did a bunch of stuff around the shop. I worked on my van. I played with my Legos a bunch. I played a bunch of Tetris. I worked out. I did all these, because there was this, all this other shit was off limits. You know, interacting with people on the road or doing a bunch of projects. I just took a month off. It was an incredible month. I felt guilty about that. People were dying. Remember the footage of like somewhere in like Italy, people wailing, you know, somewhere like in a hospital. And here we are worried about doing puzzles, you know, and so I was at odds with it, you know, and whatever. When I came crashing back into just full bore, I didn't really take commercial jobs. I took jobs that were just to help raise awareness for COVID, because we were battling so much misinformation. Like, you, it wasn't even like you weren't even allowed to, like, you know, no one's even telling you to wash your hands, you know, like shit like that. So I'd make these little graphics that say wash your hands or whatever it was, you know. I didn't want to make a buck off it. I just want to make, you know, make art and make things and get that message out there. I did a ton of that stuff, right? So, you know, in the same respect, it's like moving forward here. About 10 years ago, 8 years ago, I was on tour. I was doing all these talks. And one of the little angles I was taking my talk was like, well, what's next? I was coming up on 40. And I said, fuck, man, when I get to 40, I'm fucking retiring. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to smell the, you know, the flowers around me and slow it all down. And that night I was in San Francisco and I did my little bit and at an art school there. And in the crowd was my buddy, Chuck Prophet, rock and roll guy, Chuck Prophet. Now, how I know Chuck is I did a record for him, you know, and we became buddies that way. And I wasn't another rock and roller. So, you know, when I would go through there, we hung out, we went record shopping and shit. And then I said, come to the show. I want you to see how this stuff incorporates into what I talk about. And that night we got done and, you know, he had to take me to a train stop where I could get my train out to the airport or whatever it was. And man, he fucking lit me up. He was like, you're not retiring. Are you shitting me? You know, stop it. You know, you've had such a good run. You're going to have more of a run, but you can't retire. What do you know? And it really made me like, well, it's just downshifting. Well, here we are, come up on 50. I'm making that change. I have, because I don't want to be 57 years old, you know, fretting out the next pile of beanies, you know, which was last week.
I think I barely asked you a question today, which is wonderful. Like what we've talked about today, just kind of naturally through conversation, is stuff that's already been on my mind. And one thing that's cool is like, here I am, I just turned 40 and it's like, I want to slow down, but everybody's like, no, you need to be speeding up. I like that you're out there too, telling, you know, whether you know it or not, you're influencing me to downshift a little bit more. And I think Americans, we don't talk about that downshift enough.
Well, Lee has a friend who moved to Portugal and they take these naps and shit. And there's a premium put on like spending time together during the day, like in your community, having coffee. And well, she's just slowed herself down in such interesting ways where, like, you know, when I heard that, you know, of course, blah, 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 I laugh about it and I do all this stuff where I kind of go like, you know, well, how the fuck am I going to do that? No, I'm sensing what they're, you know, picking up what they're laying down. You know, this can't all just be about, you know, charging as hard as I've had some great runs. You know, I've had a great run, but it's, you know, we want to slow some stuff down, you know, and I don't know, you know, I mean, you know, what caught me about yours was like, there was a vulnerability to what you had to say to me, you know, that you're putting out there. And I like that. That's, you know, instead of, you know, propping yourself up, I'm this, and this. I get a lot of that. You know, it's like, oh, great, yeah, man. Here's my list of my pile of shit. Here you go. Do what you will with it. You know, you kind of came out of the gate saying, I'm trying some new things. So that caught me. I hope it catches other people too, you know, because you're going to learn some shit along the way. By the way, at 40, fuck, man, if I just did 40 to 48, that means you got 8 years of ass kicking, you know, to go and do, you know, whatever that means. But so go do it.
God damn. I love talking to you. Every time I've run into you in person.
Yeah, was I nice in Denver?
Every time I've ever run into you, it's that smile and there's just big bear hugs and just like, oh man, you're so enthusiastic about everything. And it really is contagious. And when I sat back down and I was like, okay, because already I barely even started this thing and things aren't going the way I expected. So I'm already like, I'm going to quit. And then I was like, no, let's email some of the people you absolutely on your bucket list want to talk to. Let's at least talk to them. And so you can have that done. And you are on that bucket list because you're just, there's just something about you that I'm just drawn to. Like I've got the two hats. Good. I've got the Colorado poster right here. I've got the book. I don't really use field notes, but I carried this one around China with me when I was in, like, there's tear stains for me at the Great Wall of China, crying into this because I'm at the Great Wall of China. And like you, I don't know. I just thank you.
Thanks, man. Well, I'm glad you dig the shit. You know,
Yeah.
Always got to remember, though, a lot of that niceness was trying to make a merch sale.
No, no, absolutely. But it feels authentic.
See, I've been, you know, people will say to me, sure, we're nice. And I say, was this before you came to the merch table or after? Because, listen, you know, to go to Denver, by the way, that thing in the tent.
Yeah.
That's for my friend Castle. You know Castle there, Castle Searcy?
No, I don't believe so.
Well, she's like a organizer and just a kick-ass lady, just supports the arts and, you know, fashion and whatever it is in Denver to make Denver, you know, Denver. You know, invites me to that sort of like, I think it's called Denver Startup Week, right?
Yeah.
So they have this platform to be like, all right, come. By the way, the person that spoke before me was Elon Musk's brother.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's why it spilled over too late. And then I got, then when we got to the end of the thing, she's like, okay, they're all here. They're ready for you. Go light them up. You got as long as you need. But see, they're bringing, you know, there was a fundraiser after we were done, you know? So you know, the idea of like, if I have 15 minutes, or in that case, maybe it was 45 minutes and a little bit of merch table, it's such an opportunity. You know, there's just, you know, if we can't do it under the tent, what happened was we got out of the tent, I grabbed all my merch, and we went and hung out with a bunch of people just in that closest building because it was kind of on-off raining. You know, that's why you're out there. And then that afternoon, I went and had lunch with a couple guys that I know from Denver, you know?
I know, Kellum. I can't remember his name off the top
Phil
of my head.
Kellum.
Phil. Yeah, I know Phil.
So, you know how I got to know Phil? Because he just kept showing up at the shows, man, yeah. And showing up and buying shit. I'd give him extra goodies. And, you know, I was that guy. I am still that guy. When I went to see Dinosaur Jr. 3 weeks ago, I guess now, 4 weeks ago, you know, I know the band. Oh, man, I know the fucking managers. And that is my favorite band from high school. My favorite band. You know, and Jay Maskus, all the mysteries, he's so weird and he's so, I just love him that much more, you know, and what you realize, he wrote those fucking songs in 86 and 87, a lot of those songs, you know, I went right to the merch table. Every dollar from this thing goes to one of my heroes.
Yeah.
As simple as that is. And just the artifact, like I'll just give it to someone, but it's like, it's so cool. Like they made a fucking Dinosaur Jr. guitar strap. You know, in my a little tchotchke thing I have in the house, I have my Dinosaur Jr. little set of earplug thingies. And like, you know, I've made my own DDC ones, but I bought a Dinosaur Jr. one 92 when I saw it or something. And I kept that little thing because that was offered at the merch table. That's what I didn't buy the t-shirt. I probably couldn't afford the t-shirt. You know, as fucking embarrassing as that is. You know, when you're 17 years old or 18 years old or whatever it was, you know, to go in that merch table, he's like, he gave me the poster, you know, my buddy there gave me the poster, gave me the strap and some other goodies. And it was just, you know, I don't know, you know, there's just, I love the idea that like, that goes right to the artist. The couple times when I was a kid and Mike Watt would be standing there selling you t-shirts. That's exactly what I tried to do. Like in a Denver, you know, be right there, be personable. Meet you, Phil, Castle's friends, people from high society and shit around Denver. You know, like these, you know, there were people there that are like fundraising people from that startup community and be able to take every one of them on. Because check it out. When we would go, did you know the guys from 621 Battery?
I don't, not personally, but I'm familiar with them.
Well, when we would go do an event there, the people showing up at that, they are there for me. Yeah. Like they're there for me. They're do a workshop. They're paying money. I probably might even know them already a little bit. And we're going to get into the nitty gritty of how to make, you know, things a little bit better with their graphic design and, you know, inside their software hacks and shit. But when you go to that tent gig, you're just out swimming with everything, you know, and my ability to handle everyone. Like I'm really proud of that. So I'm glad you had a fucking good time there because sometimes that shit gets away from you. You know, when you go to those Adobe Max things and there's 3,000 people, like, you know, when your voice, your voice like carries and those speakers and shit. And you can, you know, whatever stupid laugh I try to get right where they could hear me, you hear them laugh at a different time. It seems back farther because it's traveling back there, you know? And it's just like, wow, man, that I got to do that 3,300, what, 150 in Denver or 30. They were all cool, you know? Like I'm getting ready to go do a thing. I think it's tomorrow for a big software company. And they just want me to speak to their 10 people in their creative team. Yeah. Right. And oh man, I got them, you know, because I know what they're, the kind of jobs they're doing, and I know how to grab them, you know, and not just talk all about me, but say, well, okay, well, why am I here? Let's talk about what the hell you guys are doing. What's hard? Because perception, I use your software. I use it. So what's hard about that? Well, no, there's lots. It's not easy to make these products, you know? So they'll lament and I'll give them some half-ass, you know, kind of, you know, pseudo scientific answer of like, hey man, here's something to think about in your daily doing of your job, because I'm just going to tell you how I do mine, you know, and some of the tactics I use. And I don't even know if there's, you know, some way to like, you know, the scarier part is you turn into this sort of like bullshit artist that are just saying anything to get in and out of stuff. I won't do that. You know, another example, I remember one time I got to go to this, you know, like one of those sorts of big insurance things. I went to one of these things where we were in Charlotte, North Carolina, and a guy was like, hey, you're in town. You did your show last night in Charlotte. Where are you going tonight? Well, we have a day off and then we're going down to this. He said, why don't you come talk to my group today? Here's a couple grand. Fuck, you got my attention, you know? So I go into this group. Now, usually when that happens, it's a bunch of us sitting around, you know? This time I go in there, it's a bunch of 60, 55-year-old, you know, dudes, you know, like kind of fronting on me, you know, like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm going to talk to, this is your creative team? Oh yeah, that was their creative team. And these guys just weren't having it. And I just got to the point where I was like, man, how the fuck am I going to help you guys? You guys are already, you know, this guy's, you know, show a little life. This guy's near death. And everyone would laugh and shit. But it was like, I can't tell you how to be creative. You guys have already missed your opportunity to do that. Now, the couple guys that are listening, you're tuning into what I'm talking about. Fine. The rest of you, go shoot your golf, you know, go do your stuff. You got to do it 5:01. Get the fuck out of here. This is my life and how I do this. This isn't just what I do from 9 to 5, because they're talking about all this, you know, horseshit about, well, how do we become more creative? If you have to ask, you're already in trouble. You know, what I'm being able to show them is how to maximize the kill on a simple project. They're so lucky. They didn't even have to think that way because there's such a gigantic thing. Maybe it was like some banking thing. I don't remember what it was. Anyway, we get done. And the guy who brought me in, he apologizes. He said, man, you know, I'm trying to help these people. You know, Larry over there, he's got 7 years till he fucking gets to, he's 58. He's got 7 years till he's in retire. I need to have new blood in here to get him through the next 7 years. And I see what he's doing. But that guy's immune to it. You know, he's not going to listen to this shit. Anyway, it was just a weird moment because I wasn't afraid to go in front of him because I'm proud of my story. It's a story of like, no, I don't know. It's crusty. But these slick environments, you got to be real careful, man, because there's no way to inject that kind of contagious fun into it. You know, and my buddy, the guy apologized. He's like, Drappin, I saw you at the show last night. It was great. I brought all my, you know, I brought my fam, my kid, and I thought you'd be great today, but I'm so sorry. And it's like, hey man, you can't get to them all. A couple guys. So what I'm getting at is like, you know, I've been so lucky to go to places where like, it was overwhelming. When I went to the Philippines, 4,000 people. It's fucking crazy, man. Like you are just signing everything. Yeah. You know, I couldn't take any gear down there with me because it's the Philippines. You know, you're nervous about like getting fucked with at the customs and stuff. So I had like some stickers and shit like in my bag, and I just gave everything away. You know, I was just like, because you know, when I get back home, I just, to this day, I'm still bummed I didn't take like at least a shoebox full of stickers and shit with me. But I was afraid because, you know, there's these stories that you go in there, and if you have any commercial goods, you're trying to bring it in without that, they'll like, you know, make you bribe them. I don't know, you know, or not let you in. Like, you know, I was flying down there on a Wednesday and I had to talk on like Friday afternoon or whatever it was, you know, sort of shit. So you don't want to risk that stuff. But well, here, you want to do a speed round and we'll get out of this damn this fracas here.
You know, I mean, sure, why not? Let's
do anything that I haven't, you know. I'll put it to music for you. is there anything I haven't answered?
Here's a real genuine question: is I love junking, but my girlfriend does not. How do you get your wife on board with all the stuff you bring home?
Woo.
Or is she into it too? And how do I get my lady into that stuff?
Well, Lee, in my scenario, she's into it. But the house doesn't look that way. We keep it real clean.
Yeah.
I think it's when she started to see that she could go and find like really crisp little modern things that might have helped. But now it's more just like getting the exercise is what we're interested in, just going and walking and seeing a bunch of shit. I mean, I don't know, you know, people aren't into it. Well, what is she into?
Oh, wine, yoga, tarot. She's real into astrology and stuff. So we can find some, like, you know, she's got her things. I just happen to, you know, she described my old bedroom before we moved in together as a tattoo shop meets a music shop meets a comic book store. So she's like, well, none of that.
So maybe what you need to do is if you have, you know, are you in your bedroom right now or is that an office or something? Okay.
Both.
Because, you know, maybe it's more like you just need your own space where you can go ape shit, you know, and then you keep the other stuff really crisp and clean and to her liking. I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, Lee's always been into this stuff because, and I mean, to answer your question, like, I don't know. Hopefully she taps into your energy of why you like going to that. And then you have to go the other way also and go tap into why, you know, I'm bad about that because Lee wanted me to go to a sound bath. And I was like, man, kind of horse fucking bullshit. Cause that's my Midwest showing, you know, like a sound bath. And she was like, you know what, asshole, if people get something from this, how dare you come and shit all over with your dumb Midwestern. Well, I don't see anything. I can't believe whatever, you know, kind of shit. Cause you know, she's just a lot more evolved to accept the ethereal, you know, and to accept the sort of unknown, you know, and tap into some of that energy where, man, I'm a little more just sort of like, you know, I mean, the thing, what I liked about, I haven't been able to go junk it in a long time, but by the way, you can do it from your cockpit. eBay, Etsy, whatever else. Just go and digitally junk. You see something you dig, make a little folder and just, you know, keep track of your travels, you know? It's the randomness. Yeah. That's what I miss. I miss the randomness of like, you know, I can't control what I'm going to come across. And that's what I liked so much. You know, I couldn't control it. And there was something fun about that just coming around this corner, here is this thing that like inspires me so much. And what if I didn't go around that corner? I went the other way.
Yeah.
Like we were up in, I guess we've gone a couple of times. We were up in, you know, Cannon Beach, Astoria, stayed at my buddy's place up there and on the Oregon coast. And we went to Astoria, the home of the Goonies and all that shit. And there was a couple little like junk shops there. And we went to a couple junk shops and walked around. You have to wear the mask. It's all kind of uncomfortable and stuff. But I just missed that. Like, this weird little piece of something that has this kind of fake value on it. You know, listen, someone died and that's how it ended up in this little thing. But somewhere someone had to make the art and had to produce this little sign or little tract or whatever little thing it is. Whoop-de-doo little thing. I don't know, ashtray. And I just nerd out on that. Like that artifact, it's so cool. You know, like this thing exists. Here it is. By the way, if I don't want to buy it, just take a photo and keep moving, you know? But it's just this sort of randomness of like coming around. Like if I stay within the realms of what I'm comfortable with, it's cyclical fast. And that's what I'm noticing on my Instagram. Cause if you touch on the boob jiggler, you're going to see a lot of jiggling boobs. You touch on that little MMA Hasbulla guy, you know, the little tiny guy, you know, the little, he's like a little dwarf guy. He's cute. Little has him. I don't give a fuck about MMA fighting. It's just a barbaric, but you touch on the stuff that looks a little interesting and before you know it, that's what, you know, you touch on one more James Hetfield photo and all I have in my feed is Metallica. I quit touching them. So, you know, I had to put the thing down. because it was just feeding me bullshit. And then these like creepy Photoshop tricks and shit that no one's ever going to use. There's still something about just going on eBay and getting lost and getting weird and going down some weird. Here's another little pro tip. Online auctions. Because what it means is some 68-year-old uncle of yours or grandpa or whatever the hell had to scan everything in to go try to sell it all. And it's just there for the taking for us. You know, it's so weird. You know, and always nice resolution and shit. And I just go look at that stuff. It's like, how's it any different than going to, you know, the fucking, you know, Smithsonian or something in DC? There it is. It's just a flat screen or me looking through some glass. You know?
I'm going to work on being better about taking photos of things and curating a collection than bringing it home. I think that's the advice I got from you today that I'm gonna
work on. You know what? Spend your money where you spend your money. Get the house in order first. Record. You know, all that shit's just for the taking. You're just looking at the world. If we don't, I just like the fucking stimulus of like seeing all this shit come flying and stimuli. I like all the shit just seeing new things and trying to capture that stuff. And by the way, it's just all living on your fucking phone, you know? And it's just amazing to me. Like when I get a little poopy design wise, I go scrolling through my phone. It doesn't take long where I'm like, oh, there's something I saw. And I riff on it and I learn something from that move. That's it. That's all we're asking for, you know? So, all right, man. Well,
this is,
we wrap it up.
This is a pretty good place to stop. Is there, I mean, like, I guess we didn't really talk about punk rock too much. We just kind of had a cool conversation. What are you listening to these days?
What am I listening to? I can tell you. Lots of Guided by Voices. Recently, Flock of Seagulls. I hadn't heard those things in so long. And, you know, they're always like, oh, the haircut. Man, they have a great couple records. Yeah, but it's early 82, you know. Howlin' Rain. Material Issue was kind of a pop, power pop band out of Chicago. By the time I would have gotten to them, I was already on to my Sebados and Red House Painters and indie shit. And I just missed the boat with these guys, you know. How I got to them... In the 90s, there was just all this guitar rock, right? I got to them through Superdrag.
Yeah.
And Superdrag, oh, fuck, I love all of it. And I remember them being like, unfortunately, oh, that's a radio band. They got that hit on the radio, you know? They had that big hit, you know? I can listen to this shit over. And then that opened the doors to a band called the Lees of Memory, which is that John Davis's. Yeah. I love every single item of it. So I've been listening to all of that. I went on a kind of a, what is it, late 70s punk thing. The Saints, The Only One, Stiff Little Fingers.
I love The Saints so much. They're so good. Such a great band.
This is the thing. It's like, there's just pockets of this stuff. It's like, you know, tons of Chris Stapleton because I've been working on some projects for him. Lots of Drive-By Truckers, some old Naked Ray Gun.
Oh, yeah.
Sunvolt. Daddy Longhead, you can see that they were kind of a spinoff of the Butthole Surfers, you know. Yeah, lots of Superdrag. The new Red Fang was some months back. Lots of early Stevie Wonder. I love all that shit.
Nice.
Melvins, Mud Honeys. What else? Some Def Leppard, Radio Birdman. I went on this whole MC5, Radio Birdman, all those sort of bands from that inspired by the Stooges, around the Stooges, and turned into like Sonic's Rendezvous and all this kind of shit. I have some buddies at Third Man Records. So you see them putting out things and you go on this little, you know, little hunt and you find, you know, what they were tapping into. You know, what did Fred Sonic Smith do after the MC5? Well, that was Sonic's Rendezvous. And the fucking songs are great, but there isn't a ton, you know? Obviously tons of Dinosaur Jr. because I just can't get enough of it. But I think one of the greatest records I've listened to in the last couple of years, the Suicide Commandos. You ever listen to these guys?
I haven't. Let me put that down.
Minneapolis, and it's right in the veins with that sort of the records are, I think it was 79, but it's right in the veins with that kind of like, you know, so let's play a little bit. You can kind of hear. But they were a Minneapolis band, you know, and I, you know. Well before. So, you know, when you hear like where the exploding hearts came from, where are those guys getting it from? Well, I know their references, those, you know, all the guys who died, you know, and all that, but I know their references. Well, where did these guys get? I mean, they're one of them, but maybe hidden in the Midwest. Go check it out. Super catchy shit. So I bought the original record. I got paid $48-$50 or something for it, but I got a copy because I remember when I was in Minneapolis, I'm tapping into all the Bob Moulds and the Husker, you know, that's already over a decade gone, but I grew up on that shit. I grew up in SST, you know, Dinosaur Juniors and shit. So I'm tapping into that stuff. I'm going to see Bob Mould, you know, at that time I'm seeing him on his latest tours, cause I love all those records.
His new stuff is just so good. Blue Hearts.
I fucking listen to all of it. I love it. I mean, we make jokes like all I need is the latest Bob Mould and I'm good for, you know, another 6 months, you know? So, I mean, that's in the mix here too. Well, I remember someone saying, have you heard the Suicide Commandos? And it was like, that's just, it's another Minneapolis band, but that's just, they're kind of old. Fuck, those guys inspired the Replacements.
Yeah.
You know, you see where these things kind of go through, but,
I am at home, but I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to listen to Suicide Commandos now.
Thank you. What are you listening to? What should I go listen to?
You know, honestly, I've been listening to lots of movie soundtracks. I've gotten really into like collecting the stuff that's been coming out of like Mondo.
Yeah.
Waxworks, like a lot of like instrumental stuff to just throw on in the background while I'm reading or
hanging out. Well, I mean, it's such a celebration of like art, posters, right. Cool. Yeah. We were doing Mondo before the pandemic every year, you know, I had a great time. In fact, Mitch Putnam wrote me today, Mitch from Mondo. So I'm going to write him back when we're done here and say, what's up, Mitch? He's in Minneapolis now. But he is close buddies with Horky, Aaron Horky, who I know from Minneapolis. Look this guy up, an incredible illustrator and poster guy, Aaron Horky. You'll recognize it, Aaron Horky. But, you know, he kind of works with him on projects there and out of Minneapolis. And then also another buddy, Dan Black, from a thing called Landland. And that, go look at his work, because that's a friend of mine from school, art school in Minneapolis.
We will make that happen. Aaron, I could keep talking to you for hours, but
I know we don't stop this, it'll go into it.
Yeah.
Criterion Collection.
I got to pee so bad. My girlfriend just got home.
Go take a giant horse piss. Think about me while you're doing it.
I will.
Thank you for the time, man. Stay strong. Let me know how it sounds when it's all done and we'll put it up and all my rambling, hopefully it makes sense. And
I got a lot today just talking from you and your, I always do get a lot from you whenever I listen or watch or whatever. So just thank you for being you and being as authentic. And
thanks for saying all that nice stuff, man. Go roll around some yoga mats with the better half. All right. Take care, man. We'll see you around.